Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic has strongly condemned continuing violence in Syria. The Czech Health Forum says the government deserves a near failing grade on health care. And teenagers in the Czech Republic drink more alcohol than in any other European country, according to a study. The Czech Republic has strongly condemned Friday's massacre in the Syrian town of Hola that claimed more than 100 lives. The Czech Foreign Ministry said in a statement on Wednesday that it was deeply shocked by the tragic death of more than 100 civilians, including many women and children, and urged all parties in the conflict to honor their commitments under international law and to implement the six-point peace plan drafted by UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan. Unlike other nations which are stepping up international pressure against Syria, Prague is not planning to expel Syrian diplomats. The foreign ministry said a reciprocal move by Damascus would complicate the Czech plan of keeping its mission open and serving the nationals of those EU member states that have decided to close their embassies due to the worsening security situation in the country. The Czech Health Forum says the government deserves a near failing grade for its work on health care. The grade was compiled for the non-governmental organization by 59 experts who agreed that the government should focus on broadening e-health systems, preventing the healthcare quality and access from deteriorating, and heightening prevention. Czech Health Forum Director Michal Vich told journalists on Thursday that out of 32 healthcare points in the government's policy statement, it has fulfilled 6 fully and 7 partially. The experts said that the government should make good on at least another 8 promises if it wants to fulfill its mission of reform. Teenagers in the Czech Republic drink more alcohol than in any other European country, according to a study. Based on data from 2011, the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs reports that 4 out of 5 Czech 16-year-olds drank alcohol over a one-month period, compared to the European average of 57%. Moreover, Czech teens were more likely to drink heavily compared with other countries, surpassed only by teenagers in Denmark and Malta. While experience with drugs, including marijuana, has dropped slightly, alcohol intoxication among teens has risen, with 1/5 of teens saying they had been intoxicated three or more times in the last month, compared to 14% in 1995. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy to cloudy, with scattered showers and highs of 20 to 24 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, an exhibition on the assassination of Nazi Governor Reinhard Heydrich has opened in the Israeli parliament. And we'll talk to David Skilling, the son of one of the world's foremost scholars of 20th century Czech and Slovak history, Gordon Skilling, about how his father's lifelong interest in things Czech impacted his own life. Later on in Panorama, Pavla Horáková will take you to the Prague Food Festival that took place at Prague Castle over the weekend. So do please stay with us. On occasion of the 70th anniversary of the Heydrich assassination, an exhibition on the subject has opened in Israel's parliament, the Knesset. While the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich is one of the most significant events in modern Czech history, the story of how the governor of the occupied Czech lands was killed is relatively unknown in Israel, despite the fact that Heydrich was one of the main architects behind the final solution. Sarah Borufka has the story.
The briefcase in which the assassins carried the bomb that was to kill Reinhard Heydrich, a facsimile of the bomb used in what was codenamed Operation Anthropoid, personal items of Josef Gabčík, one of the 3 parachutists who killed the senior Nazi official, those are just some of the pieces on display at an exhibition on the Heydrich assassination that opened in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, on Wednesday. Czech Ambassador Tomáš Bojár says the idea was born when the Speaker of the Czech Senate visited the embassy 2 years ago.
And it was decided that to bring the exhibition on the anniversary of the assassination of Heydrich to Israel would be welcomed by the Israeli side. of the reasons why we are doing it is that the story of Heydrich is not very much known in Israel, no matter that Heydrich was the one presiding of the Wannsee Conference and was very instrumental in the so-called final solution. The story in Israel, which is known as Eichmann's story, but basically Heydrich was Eichmann's superior.
Czech and Israeli officials hope that the exhibition will raise awareness of the role Czechs played in bringing down the brutal Nazi leader in one of the most courageous attacks of the Second World War. The assassination prompted gruesome reprisals by Nazi Germany, and estimated 5,000 Czechs were killed in revenge. Ambassador Boyar says Israeli media have been covering the exhibition.
Several articles were published prior to the exhibition, so the story has got some more relevance and has gotten to be more known. The exhibition in Knesset is basically in Israeli parliament. It's not for open for general public, but then the exhibition will move to Tel Aviv area and to the northern Israel area, where it will be open to public. So the exhibition should be here on display within next 3 months on three different locations, and I hope that more people from Israeli public will be able to attend it.
The chairwoman of the Czech parliament, Miroslava Němcová, is in Tel Aviv on occasion of the opening. While the exhibition is devoted to one very specific chapter of Czech history, it seeks to place the Heydrich assassination into a broader context and shed light on the quality of Czech-Israeli relations. The two countries' relations are flourishing, says the ambassador.
And it's not only on the political level of the relations of the Czech governments, no matter if we have been talking about the center-right or center-left governments, but it is also the relations of the Czech people and the Israelis, of the Czech people and the Jewish peoples, of the cultural relations, trade relations. And I must say that I'm very glad that we do see those relations on very different levels, flourishing, more context being established, and more joint projects happening, be it on the side of trade, investment, research and development, culture, or political.
The above-standard relations between both countries were obvious during Benjamin Netanyahu's recent visit to Prague. The Israeli prime minister said the country was Israel's closest ally within Europe.
Sarah Borufka with that report. Moving on now, a conference and exhibition this week commemorate the 100th anniversary of the birth of the late Professor Gordon Skilling, a leading scholar on modern Czech and Slovak history. Gordon Skilling's lifelong interest in Czechs and Slovaks began before World War II, when he came to Prague to do research for his dissertation, a time he also briefly worked for Radio Prague. Jan Richter spoke to Gordon Skilling's son David, who was in Prague for the events, and asked him what it was like to be growing up surrounded by all things Czech.
Gordon's life really revolved around his work. He was mostly concerned with what he was doing. So much of our family conversation, the people that were in our home, were involved with either the study of Central Europe or were Czech emigres who were living in Toronto. So it really became quite a natural thing in our household to be surrounded and concerned with things Czech and Slovak. We first visited as a family in 1962, so I was 14, and that was my first physical and personal connection with the country, and then have had many, many visits since, many with Gordon. But growing up, it didn't seem unnatural. My wife, who knew me when I was young, said that she felt our family was very exotic and very, very, very different than everyone else in our neighborhood because of my father's travels, my father's interests. But personally, it seemed quite natural.
What was visiting Czechoslovakia in 1962 like for a 14-year-old Canadian teenager?
Well, I actually saw quite a contrast. We had been living in Vienna for that year as a family, and we came here over Easter in 1962. And to me, coming from Vienna, Prague seemed quite gray. The streets were quite empty in terms of activity of cars and so on. So I think from my teenage perspective, the memories that I have going back quite a long time now, but my perspective was that it was definitely a different world. In 1967, I returned again. This time I was a university student. I was traveling in Europe with friends, and I came to Prague in the summer of 1967. At this point, I was a college student, but also a hippie. So I had long hair and a beard, and was quite involved with witnessing and surrounded by the political movements in the United States that were taking place at that time. And I, of course, saw young people here who had long hair and were musicians and artists and jazz players and so on. And I found it amusing and quite telling, really, that it became aware that really the authorities felt that these young Czechs were under the horrible influence of capitalism, and that this decadent lifestyle and so on was purely a result of capitalism. However, in the United States, where I was going to university, we had a very liberal university community, but the wider community was quite conservative, and it was not uncommon for people to drive by us, friends of mine, as we were walking down the street and yell out, "Commie!" And we even had a few times people throw rocks at us just as we were walking on the street, and they felt we were under the influence of communists. So I thought the two opposing systems were viewing the youth culture in quite interesting ways.
There is an exhibition at the Kampa Museum in Prague commemorating your father. What can people see there? What can they learn about your father and his life?
Well, it's opened just the other evening on Tuesday evening, and it will run until August 8th at the Museum Kampa. They have produced a series of panels with photos throughout Gordon's life, so showing various aspects of his life, both his personal life before his involvement with Czechoslovakia, and then certainly the important stages of his interaction and his experiences here. In addition to the panels with information in both Czech and English, there are displays, and we have many of his medals and awards that he received from the Czech and Slovak people, as well as some items such as his typewriter, early typewriter, and some of his books, etc. It's a nice, very nice exhibit that has been put together at the museum, and it really gives a nice snapshot of Gordon's life.
David Skilling, son of the late Professor Gordon Skilling, talking about how his father's lifelong interest in things Czech impacted his own life. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Over the past weekend, the Royal Gardens at Prague Castle remained closed to ordinary visitors as they hosted the annual Prague Food Festival, a celebration of good food and fine dining. In the course of 3 days, around 36 of the country's best restaurants showcased their dishes, served at moderate prices to an appreciative public. Radio Prague's Pavla Horáková was there and brought back a report for this week's Panorama.
The magnificent venue, the lovely spring weather, and live music from various corners of the world made this year's Prague Food Festival a feast for all the senses. Ahead of the event, I spoke to its founder, leading Czech restaurant critic Pavel Maurer. He told me more about the accompanying program as well as the underlying message of this year's Prague Food Festival.
We also invited a local music, so we will have a cappella from Napoli, we will have a school of flamenco, and there will be also a painting school of food, so the visitors will not have opportunity just to taste the food and taste the wine and beer, but they will have also some culture program. And what is also maybe important is that we, our motto or our theme for today is think globally and eat locally. And it will be influencing all the restaurants and also all the cooking shows and also all the program.
From beef to beetles, from calamari to candy floss, all was available at the outdoor stands scattered around the leafy garden with carefully trimmed lawns, offering breathtaking views of the spires of St. Vitus Cathedral. Outside the Renaissance Ball Game Hall and the Royal Summer Palace, you could run into local celebrities as well as students with backpacks, foreigners and Czechs alike, tasting the various exotic and local dishes. One of the truly local products served at the festival was Pilsner Urquell beer. I spoke to Václav Berka, chief brewmaster at Plzeňský Prazdroj brewery that produces the traditional Czech beverage.
We came every year to this festival with something new or with new focus, with new direction. And this year, we will present it new products by tasting. But probably you heard this year, is it the festival connected with healthy? And there will be present some drink from barley, from green barley. We are still a step ahead because we used barley which is germinated, it's malt, and we use it for production of beer for a long time. This year we will celebrate 170 years from first brew of Pilsner Urquell.
Mr. Berka says that in line with the festival's motto this year, Czech breweries care about the origin of the ingredients they use.
I think business industry is again one step ahead, because it's few years ago when Czech Beer and Malting Association, which covered practically all breweries in Czech Republic, started with registration trademark České pivo, mean Czech beer. And this Czech beer has his rules that will be used only local products. In main volume, it means Czech barley for production malt, Czech Sads hops for hopping, and of course using all traditional recipes and processes. Means we use it longer time already.
Among the famous chefs taking part this year was also Michelin star holder Roman Paulus of the Prague Radisson Sas Alkron Hotel. As a seasoned participant in the event, he regrets there is never enough time to try the dishes served by his colleagues. His love of local cuisine and ingredients showed in his choice of menu for the festival.
I especially like to prepare mushrooms and game like venison, all this wild boar. So all this kind of late summer, autumn seasonal dishes. This year we are serving organic pork belly confit with green lentils ragu and shallot cooked in vinegar.
With a host of popular cooking shows on television and new farmers' markets springing up around Prague, I asked Pavel Maurer, the founder of the Prague Food Festival, whether he thought Czechs' attitude towards food was changing.
Slowly. From the statistics, you don't see very big differences, especially outside of Prague. 85% of people are eating top 5 food, which are typical for this country, and there is not so much experiments. But on the other hand, there is a big target audience of young people between 18 to 25, which are also very important part of our visitors who are coming every year to the festival, and they exchange their opinions on the internet and food blogs and everywhere. So on this new generation, I can say, I see a really big progress, and they really care about food. They care from where is the food, what is the CV of the food, and what is the quality. So I'm very optimistic.
Chef Roman Paulus agrees Czechs are increasingly more aware of the quality and origin of their food.
Many people are just interested in what they eat, which is very good, because some people in this country still, they better buy a very high quality of oil for their cars, but they are not spending the money of the food they're eating. So I think it's getting better and better.
Much as he'd like to use fresh local produce, Roman Paulus says it is sometimes difficult to come by in Prague.
I love to work with it, but still not enough. So we have to work with the farmers to get them to produce the right ingredients for us. You have to find your own farmer which is producing for you, and because there are so few of them, so you have to select very carefully and look for them.
Sophia Smith of Le Patio took part in the festival for the first time, showcasing a menu of Indonesian-style slow-cooked beef served with rice and pineapple relish, stir-fried prawns, calamari with sweet chili sauce, and sticky toffee pudding.
I'm really excited. I'm really worried logistically because it's big and we're a small restaurant. Le Patio is a restaurant on Narodni. It's been there over many, many years as a cafe and a restaurant. I'm actually the new executive chef for Le Patio, and I've only just started as well a couple of weeks ago. So we're trying to revamp the menu and at the end of the day just do good food. So we'll have the cafe part, have cakes, and I'll be doing sort of like a more sort of Asian-leaning tasting menu in the restaurant upstairs. And over time, we hope to develop it to, brunches, breakfast, and things like that. Just good food, because it's a massive space. And because I'm half Asian and half Irish, I kind of like to, do a little bit of both, just sort of the Asian side. And then with the Irish side, I do a lot of that great desserts, great breads and things like that from my Irish side.
Even though many of the dishes Sophia Smith prepares require exotic and therefore imported ingredients, she says she tries to use local products as much as she can.
I love the shift now towards local produce, and it's great to see a lot of farmers' markets, and actually that I think has changed. And I don't know whether it's changed because my Czech friends told me that, I used to get eggs from my grandmother, I used to get vegetables from home, but now it's more to the forefront and more, I think, is easily available for those of us living in the city. So I've seen a lot of changes. I'm so, so happy to be able to use local produce, especially since I use a lot of exotic ingredients and spices that are imported. So what I try to do with sort of the meats, the vegetables, whenever possible, use local. That I'm really, really excited about, because I feel slightly guilty that a lot of the spices and stuff are imported.
Just as I was leaving the beautiful premises, I asked one of the visitors, Andrei, an active member of the Prague food blogging community, for his impression of the festival.
It's the second time that I decided to go here. And I think it's a great idea to host this kind of event at this beautiful place near the Prague Castle.
Which dishes did you try today?
I tried calamari and some nice pork and also some vegetables and some pretty nice desserts. It was all really, really good.
And there was a lot to choose from. Whether you prefer traditional Czech cuisine, fancy some of the more exotic dishes, or whether you are into novelties such as molecular gastronomy, the Feast of Culinary Variety offered something for everybody's palate.
This week's edition of Panorama was by Pavla Horáková. Now, in the final part of today's program, a Czech lesson from Pavla's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Czech food and cuisine, that's the topic of our ABC of Czech series this season. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Martin Mikule.
And today we look at an ingredient that has a very special place in Czech cuisine, mushrooms.
Houby.
By those, we don't mean the kind that you can buy in a supermarket, that is field mushrooms or champignons, but mainly several kinds of edible fungi of the kind known as boletus.
Hřib.
Czechs are passionate mushroom pickers, and many recognize dozens of edible mushrooms from which they can prepare all sorts of tasty meals. Let's start with
houbová smaženice.
a mushroom stir-fry, a typical summer weekend supper that people cook right after they've come back from the forest. You peel the mushrooms, slice them, and fry in butter with salt, pepper, and caraway seeds. Many people also add eggs into the mix. Another favorite summer dish is
houbová polévka,
mushroom soup. It's a filling, thick soup with sliced mushrooms, potatoes, onions, celery, carrots, and cubes of bacon swimming in it. Another type of mushroom soup made traditionally in the Krkonoše Mountains is
houbové kyselo,
sour mushroom soup. It's a thick cream soup seasoned with vinegar, with boiled mushrooms, potatoes, onions, and whole eggs. Mushroom sauce,
houbová omáčka,
is not just a type of sauce, but it's the name of a whole meal. It consists of boiled beef and bread dumplings, swimming in a cream sauce with slices of mushrooms and seasoned with vinegar. Another mushroom dish that used to be made mainly in the mountains where mushrooms are plentiful is
houbový kuba.
In some families, it is made on Christmas Eve and eaten for lunch, which is supposed to be meatless. You boil peeled barley, fry mushrooms in oil, mix those together, add plenty of garlic and bake in an oven. It's so heavy that you will barely get hungry for the carp and potato salad dinner. Mushrooms only grow when it's warm outside, so it's necessary to preserve them for the winter. Nowadays, many people simply freeze them, but many still like to pickle small mushrooms in vinegar with slices of onions, dill, mustard seeds and other seasoning. They are very nice with smoked meat and bread on a winter evening. And of course, you can dry the mushrooms.
Sušené houby.
Dried mushrooms can be used almost like fresh mushrooms. You only have to soak them in water first. The main mushroom season is still a few months away, but connoisseurs are already scouring forests for rare delicacies. And that's all we have time for today. So till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková, and I'm afraid that Czech lesson has brought us to the end of today's program. You will find us at radio.cz, and should you like to contact us, please write to english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.